Hi everyone, this is Vishen Lakhiani with Finer Minds, and I have a person on the phone today whom I know you're going to have an amazing time listening to. Her name is Sonia Choquette, and she's one of the top psychics in the United States. But Sonia's a lot more than that. She's an intuitive worker, and she teaches people how to function with their sixth sense. I met Sonia at an event for speakers and authors in Maui about 8 months ago. We had a fantastic conversation. And the more I looked into her work, the more impressed I got with her. So, Sonia, how are you today?
I'm happy to be talking to you. I'm in a very good frame of mind and very excited to share all the things we're going to share with your audience.
Absolutely. And it's the same over here. I know there's going to be tons of good content that we're going to get out of this interview. But let's start with your background, Sonia. Now, I introduced you as one of the top psychics in America, and anyone who's seen your website or heard of your books or your programs would probably agree. But tell us, what are you working on right now? What are your big projects?
Well, I've been working for the last 30 years in educating people and empowering people in activating their sixth sense, because I really truly believe that we do not have the ability to function at our full potential without it. It is not possible. So it is, to me, it's a misnomer to call it the sixth sense. It actually should be the first sense. So I'm on a mission to educate. I've worked with corporations. I've worked with educational institutions. I've worked with individuals. I've worked with medical people in how to engage this part of the spirit, this part of the brain, this part of our human consciousness to advance us as human beings. And the effects are felt both personally in terms of having a happier, healthier, more productive, abundant life, but also socially, in that we are, when you activate your sixth sense, your fear subsides. So you begin to become a more productive and more beneficial human citizen. So to me, it's also the basis for really being able to establish genuine social, communal world peace. So I'm working on that, if that's not too ambitious, but it's been my passion forever.
Very impressive. And I also know you've written some 17 books, sorry, 14 books in 17 different languages on the topic.
Yes,
so you're definitely an authority worldwide on this topic.
I actually have been teaching for a long time, and my books have reached, actually, I'm very excited that they are being translated into so many languages. And many of them have been integrated into university curriculums, because I'm a very grounded teacher. There's one thing to have the skill, but it's another thing, and this is the thing that's been my mission, is to teach it to others. That's when it becomes useful. It's a difference between fish and a fishing pole. So I, through my books and through my programs and through my workshops and lectures, I try to give people the best fishing pole to pull in to their personal experience the highest intuitive wisdom that they are entitled to have. So that's the focus. It's not just being intuitive, but empowering others with it. I do know how it works, and I do know how to activate it in people.
So let's start with the first question. If intuition is so commonplace and so powerful, why is it that we are still, at this point in our human evolution, not using it as much as we should?
Well, I think that the ultimate reason is because of patriarchy and a socialization that has actually stripped us of our personal power. So every human being starts out as a fully functioning intuitive being. Every child is indelibly tied intuitively to their mother, to their parents, to the environment. The senses work perfectly, but they're dumbed down and basically discouraged through socialization. And we've been indoctrinated to turn our power over to outside authorities, and people have complied with that for 1,000 years. to their detriment and to social detriment, because now we're seeing that there is no ultimate outside person, authority, institution that's going to assume responsibility for us in exchange for our unconscious submission. So I really think it's a cultural disaster. And now the root of reactivating intuition lies in being reeducated. I tell my students, it's not a matter of do you believe it. That is no longer a relevant question. Anybody who doesn't believe in intuition in this day and age is stuck in the dark ages and not currently informed. Science has not only validated intuition, but has actually specifically identified parts of the brain, parts of the heart, even parts of the gut that can respond energetically to the environment and to what we call non-localized vibrational awareness. So intuition is natural, but it does need to be acknowledged and it does need to be developed to become a viable informative tool, the psychic tool that it is intended to be, the barometer, the guidance system that it's intended to be. So it's a sort of a renaissance and a revisiting of our assumptions that needs to happen first. The first assumption is this is weird has to change into this is not only natural, but it's normal and necessary to succeed.
I love how assertive you are, and I love what you just said about people who don't believe it being in the dark ages. I mean,
We can't argue the merit any longer. The subject has evolved to the next level. The question today is not does it exist. The question for the modern informed man is how does it work, and most importantly, how does it work for me.
Well, let's start.
And that's what I've devoted myself to.
Let's start with that question. How does it work?
Well, it's not a one-size-fits-all sense. The intuitive sense is centralized in the frontal lobe of the brain, and in it, which then communicates to the heart, which then communicates to the gut, which then communicates to the physical body. So it's sort of a ripple effect. And we pick up vibration through other senses, but some of us will pick it up through the sense of vision. So we have visions. We have ideas. Things pop into our mental screen. Other people feel the vibrational impact of subtle and non-localized energy through the sense of sound. I call it almost laughingly like having dog ears. We feel and sense vibration off the normal scale of sound that the human ear registers, but we sense vibration and it affects impacts the eardrum. So we have the way that comes through is sort of an inner voice or an inner guidance, an inner sound. Some of us pick it up in our dream state when the conscious mind is resting, and then the higher conscious mind can get our attention. Some of us pick it up through the sense of touch. That's called clairsentience. And it evolves into the psychic skill of psychometry, which means to measure vibration through the sense of touch. So it's not one size fits all, but what does fit all is your intuition will at least initially get your attention around those areas first that keep you safe. So that's why a lot of people get vibrational insights when it comes to protection. Like, oh, I feel danger. It scares me. Well, it shouldn't scare you. It's protecting you. So that's the first level. And then the second level is through your close personal relations. So you'll pick it up around your family and the people you love and the people that you feel close emotional ties with. And then the third level is you'll start picking up vibration around what you care about, what interests you. So some people can, for example, be extremely intuitive in real estate. because they love real estate. Someone else can be very intuitive when it comes to the game of golf, and another person when it comes to financial investing, because that's what they love, and intuition is heart-centered. So it's basically centered around love. So it's survival, relational intimacy, and personal interest. Those are the three areas, and that's how it kind of breaks down.
Sonia, that's a beautiful way of looking at it. I've never actually looked at it from that point of view. And I particularly found the third level interesting, because I wonder if people who are exceptionally successful at what they do, people like Tiger Woods in golf, or Richard Branson in business, or Donald Trump in real estate, if they are functioning at an intuitive level when they make their decisions.
Absolutely. In fact, this is something that I cite often when I'm teaching, because it's very exciting to me. There was a business article in the Harvard Business Review several years ago, and they interviewed the top 100 CEOs worldwide in across the board in all industries, and asked them, what do you attribute your success to? And all 100 unanimously said that I attribute it to a sixth sense and a personal intuition, some sort of off the charts kind of sort of psychic knowing. But here's what's interesting. They also said, but I don't make that public. So it is the secret weapon. It is the secret key to success. You cannot succeed at the maximum level unless you're using all of your sensory awareness. I mean, if whales can find their way across the earth, and monarch butterflies can find their way to one hemisphere and back and not get lost, why would we as human beings not also be endowed with a sort of inner radar system that can guide us to our highest manifestation as well? It doesn't make sense.
That is extremely true. You know, I once had a chance to meet Richard Branson, and one of the things I asked him is, how do you know when to go into business with someone? Now, of course, Branson has built up 300 companies, and he has multiple business partners. So I asked him, how do you know when to go into business with someone? And what he said was, in the first 60 seconds I meet someone, I instantly know if this person is someone I should be in business with or not.
That's intuition.
Right.
It's a vibrational cognizance that transcends and is the summation of all the other senses. It's a synthesis of every aspect of knowing. And here's something else I just read that's kind of interesting, at least from an American point of view, but not necessarily. I just read an article that the Army is now using and selecting people who openly acknowledge being intuitive to flush out landmines and terrorist ambushes, and they're using them to protect them in these sort of modern guerrilla warfare tactics. So they're actually beginning to see that intuition is a very protective, viable device when all else fails. So whether it's to watch your back or to pave your way, why wouldn't we be very invested in cultivating this natural sense? Anybody who would hesitate is really leaving themselves out of the evolutionary curve. They're really self-selecting out.
That's well said, Sonia. And so for those of you listening in the next 40 minutes or so, we're now going to cover the big question. How do you start working with your intuition? But before we get there, for those of you who might have to leave this interview early, or who are just waiting to find out how you can learn more about Sonia, this is what I want you to do. If you're streaming this online, scroll down and you'll see a button that says click here to learn more. Click on that button, and you'll come to a page on Finer Minds where you can learn more about Sonia's intuition training programs. Now, if you're listening to this in your car and you don't see that button because it's playing on your MP3 player, as soon as you get home and get access to a computer, I want you to go to finerminds.com, F-I-N-E-R-M-I-N-D-S, finerminds.com/Sonia, S-O-N-I-A. So check it out. Do it as soon as you can and have that page up on your computer. Sonia, let's continue. So we've talked about how important and vital this skill is and how some of the most successful people in the world, people from billionaires to highly influential sports people, are using intuition as a means to their success. And you've given us three different levels. Now, let's talk about those levels for a moment. I'd love for you to expand more on each level. Let's start with survival.
Right. Well, especially right now, because the world is in flux and transition. So every foundation that we have been counting on, or been accustomed to, or conditioned to relying upon, is no longer necessarily predictable. Are the foundation in our jobs that also creates a sense of survival and threat. The foundation often sometimes in our health can create us upset, in the foundation in our societies, and now because there's so much prolific violence, which is a consequence of everybody's fear, that this alone should be the motivation to develop your intuition. It is like the ultimate insurance policy for you, to protect you. It's the frequency that in nature will say, go here, move away from there, step in, step out, say yes, say no, leave the job, step into the job, eat that, don't eat this, go to the doctor, not to worry. It just is that one inner guidance. You know, the word intuition means inner teacher. It's that part of you that is devoted to your own well-being. And for parents, you know, many, many mothers, more so than fathers, although I find that changing, will say, I don't have any intuition except when it comes to my kids. But when something's wrong with my kids, I feel it. Now, my teaching is, don't just feel it, trust it. Use it. Go with it. Don't sit around and look for someone to validate it. This is where we really need to take our power back. The way I grew up in my home is, when you had a vibe, that's what we called it. That was sort of our code word for intuitive insight. When you had a vibe, that was it. That was enough. We didn't need to argue. We didn't need to justify it. We didn't need to get permission. We just were allowed to say, if I have a vibe, it's something real and it's something worth listening to. But what's interesting is my teacher was my mother, and my mother was a prisoner of war as a child in World War II. She lost her parents when she was 12. She was put in a prison of war camp in Germany, and it was, in fact, her intuition that saved her life. So survival was one of the greatest motivating factors for her, creating an environment for my siblings and I to be empowered with our intuition, so that the environment that said, this is important, listen to it no matter what, is key to developing it.
And so it seems that you were raised in a household where your mom really encouraged her kids to work with their intuition. What were some of the things that she did, or some of the ways you grew up that you think might be different from most other kids?
Well, for one thing, my mother treated us with great reverence and respect when it came to our spirit. She said that each of us possessed a divine spirit that gave us life, and that divine spirit was very empowered and could guide us. And it was our responsibility to respect that spirit, to honor the spirit by making choices to have the spirit live in a body that was healthy and happy and peaceful. And she would ask us all the time as children, when we would say, Mom, can I go play at my friend's house, or can I spend the night at so-and-so's? Her response to us was always, well, before I answer that question, what does your spirit say? Is that a good thing for you to do? Will that be a good thing for you to participate in? And that was from as early as 6 years old. So she would loop us back around to check in with ourselves and gave us a great empowerment to say, she would say, what can you live with and what will make you peaceful? That's the thing that your intuition will guide you to respect. And so we were given a great deal of invitation and encouragement to check in. Whereas, as I speak with my students and my clients, very few people were ever encouraged to check in. Very few people even consider checking in with their inner feeling. So that's a radical departure from most people's training. And if we had a vibe as children, my mother would respect it. She wouldn't say, oh, you're crazy or dismissive. If I said, Mom, I have a bad vibe about that person, she would say, I hear you, so let's pay extra attention. Let's pay extra attention. I hear that, and it's important. Those two things, if you do that as a person, even with your own vibration, and you sponsor your own feelings that way, that alone is a tremendous jump start on your intuition. It's the beginning.
Now, were there any situations in your early years before you turned, say, 20, in which your intuition, your survival intuition, came to your help?
Yes. Actually, I had a situation when I was a teenager, and it's one that I've written about, where I ignored my vibes, and it was a terrible decision. And it was, when I was a teenager, I was already recognized for my ability to do readings for people accurately. And so the police came and wanted me to do some work on a murder, a family murder. And I was 14 and I was very flattered. My vibe said, don't get involved. But my ego said, hey, it's the police. They're noticing me. I'm a teenager. I'm special. And so I did get involved. And I went to the home, and this couple in Colorado had been murdered in cold blood, really, right in front of their fireplace. And there were no clues. And when I walked in and I saw the family, and they were so devastated, and I saw the police, and I saw the blood on the floor, and it was so shocking, and I was so overwhelmed that I realized that it wasn't just a game. That intuition needed to be, I needed to really take a look at how my role as an intuitive guide influenced other people. And how I was, though I was psychic, I wasn't mature. And so I got overwhelmed by the situation. It scared me. And frightened me. So that's actually was the turning point. That's when I decided that not only would I be satisfied with being intuitive, but I would devote myself to how this works, how it can work for others, what makes it work, what the spiritual components of this were, what the moral components were. So it actually was a key experience that set me on the path that I have been on ever since. And it taught me responsibility as well as not just intuitive perception, but the responsibility and the need to be very, very conscious of how intuition can either make or break our life. So I didn't help the people because I freaked out at 14, but I've helped people ever since as a result of that.
Yes, I understand you started teaching people intuition. You became a teacher of this at the age of 16. And
yes,
how many people have you trained since then?
I've probably trained 50,000 people.
That's impressive.
In small, intimate groups over the course of the last 35 years. And you have to understand, when I started out, it was still really the Wild West in a lot of people's perception. It was very clandestine, very intimate. My groups were maybe 3 or 4 or 5. Now I teach auditoriums full, thousands of people at a time, because as a collective race, we're beginning to become more educated and more conscious of the need to develop all of our inherent senses and our inherent gifts fully. But initially, I taught in basements. I taught in small rooms. I taught in secret quarters. So it had been a colorful existence for sure.
And so for those of us listening in who did not have the kind of growing up environment that you had, where intuition was actually encouraged, is it too late for us, or are there ways we can still develop this skill?
Well, I love that question, and that's the most important question, because it's natural. It's never too late. It's just waiting to be turned on. And it's not a theory I have. It's something that I have successfully witnessed in the course of training people for as long as I have. You just need to create an optimum environment, and intuition will naturally snap back into place. You know, one of the ways I answered is if a light is shut off for 30 years or 50 years, but it is plugged into source, is it difficult to turn the light on? No. Just turn it on. The key is it plugged into source? So that's what intuition is about. If I teach you to plug into the sources of intuition, it will function for you. And people are so surprised and delighted. It's almost like kids in a candy store. They giggle, they laugh, they squeal with surprise and delight. But it is delightful, because intuition is putting bright lights on things that otherwise were in the dark in your life. So no, it's never too late, and that's why I've been so passionate about this.
Now, what are some of the surprising or the impressive things that some of your students have been able to accomplish or do with intuition after suddenly having this light turn on in them?
Well, one client I can think of right off the bat was a young man who came to see me about 14 years ago. He had dropped out of high school. He never was much of an academic. He was a waiter in a very popular restaurant here in Chicago. And he came to me and he said, I have a dream to open my own restaurant, but I don't have any education. I dropped out of high school. I've never been to cooking school. I have no money, no resources. My family doesn't have any money. So this can't happen. And I invited him to attend one of my workshops, and I gave him free tuition. I said, just come. It's just time to explore this. If you feel that strongly, develop your intuition a bit before you decide it's not possible. Because the logic brain is very cynical, and the logic brain is skeptical, and its most common word is no, that's not possible. But the intuitive brain is very creative, resourceful, and its most common word is yes, that is possible. So he came to the workshop, found a means. He said, I see my restaurant. I see it. I see people lined up. And with that vision that he got in the workshop, he was able to convince patrons of the restaurant that he worked with to invest in him. He opened a small restaurant called Francesca's on Clark. It really didn't hold more than maybe 15 tables. And today, he owns and runs 25 successful restaurants in Chicago.
That's very cool.
That's a cool story, isn't that? That it was based on his intuition overriding his low self-esteem and his background and his sense of value and worth, and guided him to an enormous success. And he now employs thousands of employees. So it's not just a personal success, it's a community success.
Very true, very true. And it strikes me how different your upbringing was, and how most of us maybe might be, if this is a natural sense, it probably seems that most of us who are parents need to learn a thing or two about how to allow our kids to grow up without this sense being stunted. What advice would you have for parents?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me that. I've written a whole book on that called The Intuitive Spark, Nurturing Intuition in Your Children, Your Family, and You. And what I would suggest is that your children are highly functioning intuitive beings. And what they need is for you to stay out of the way, one, and respect their experience and their communication and their feedback, So if your child says to you, I don't like my teacher, you don't say, no, that's a nice teacher, because you don't know. You're not in the experience with the child. You need to say, well, okay, I hear that. Let's pay attention. Let's see what we can work with. I support your experience. Doesn't mean I can give you a new teacher, but it certainly means that I can witness and respect your experience energetically. The other thing is to create an atmosphere, and this is something my mother did so successfully with us, to invite intuition to participate. And so we played a game. There were seven children, and we had a very modest upbringing. My father worked as a salesman in a department store. She didn't work. We weren't desperately poor, but we certainly had no extra means, so we were invited to be creative in our entertainment. So she would entertain us with a game she called I Wonder. So every time the phone rang, the game was I Wonder Who's on the Phone, or I Wonder What Color Car is going to come to the stoplight next, or I Wonder what's on special in the grocery store. And we would all play the game of I Wonder. And wonder is the front door to intuition. The minute you wonder, you begin to allow for more than your logic brain knows. And so playing I Wonder with your kids is really fun and invites them to express themselves. So people say, well, what if you were wrong? But my mother was so brilliant. She would say, oh, you're not wrong. That's just what's going to happen next. We just don't know it. So nobody was ever at risk of being, we played outside the realm of right and wrong. And that's very key to developing intuition. It's not a game of right and wrong. It's a game of what feels true for me for now. And you get to tune in to things happening moment to moment to moment. So that was a very important component. And I really encourage parents to invite their children to play I Wonder and to ask their children. This is something my mother did with us as a family. When we had problems, instead of just giving us answers, she would say, well, let's wonder about the answers together. What does your spirit say? Why do you have this problem? What does your spirit say? And the other thing she said, which I wrote about in my book, that invites intuition, is she would say there's always a solution. And intuition is the game of finding the solution. So this puts the mind in a receptive state to be informed beyond the logic brain. And it really does work. A little bit of jostling, a little bit of jogging will create an ideal atmosphere for intuitive perceptions to drop in.
Thank you. That was really well explained. I mean, as a parent, I totally can see what you're talking about. And I've from a very early age had been playing these games with my kid as well. So I just hope that I'm doing the right thing. I mean, in terms of how your mom had raised you so well.
Yes, you are doing the right thing because it's natural. All we as parents have to do is to recognize and respect what is naturally, inherently available. The best thing you can do as a parent is empower your child to trust him or herself and to encourage your child to tune in to the most authentic level of communication about their experience. And that's why intuition is so valuable, because it is the voice of your most empowered, authentic, enlightened self.
And so, Sonia, the next thing we want to talk about is level two, where you talk about family intimacy. I think that's going to be fascinating. But again, before we go there, for those of you listening in, I just want to let you know that if you want to learn more, if you'd like to learn more about Sonia's programs, go to finderminds.com/Sonia, S-O-N-I-A. And there you'll be able to see Sonia's program from Sonia that our Finder Minds team went through, had gone through several of her programs, and this is the one that we thought would be the best fit for our audience and the type of people we have in our list. So do check it out, finderminds.com/Sonia. And of course, if you're streaming this interview directly off the website, just scroll down and click on the button that says click here to learn more. So, Sonia, let's talk about the second level, family intimacy.
Now, this is where many people, in fact, Vishen, I have never talked to anybody who hasn't had at least some experience where they have been intuitively in communication with someone that they've loved in some way, whether it's a mother and a child, it's married partners, even no longer married partners who were at one point intimate, if it's siblings, children with parents. And that's because we, in our emotional link, we link up to one another telepathically. We share thought frequencies, just like we're sharing a telephone frequency. And we don't see one another, but we're communicating, we're connecting. Telepathy is the same thing, only on a higher octave. The energies relay back and forth. And I invite people to think about this in their personal relationships, to begin to identify. It's almost like identifying a spice or a flavor or a musical tone, what I call everyone's personal vibration. Each of us has our own frequency that we kind of buzz along in this vibration when we're at peace and when we're happy, when we feel good, when we're grounded. But that vibration shifts when we are under stress and when we're strained or when we're compromised. And when that vibration shifts, those in our orbit or our sphere who share that frequency can sense it. And so that's when the mom will say, oh, I'm thinking about my child at college. I wonder if she or he's okay. Or, I'm sensing my husband on a business trip. I wonder if something good is going on. And the thing is, we sense it all the time, but we're not in the habit of acknowledging it. And one of my intuitive teachers, in addition to my mother, I also was mentored by two very, very profound intuitive teachers. And one of my teachers said to me very early in my training, if you name it, you claim it. So I was taught, and I encourage my students every single time, especially when it is relevant to your close family, friends, personal intimates, and close relationships, every single time you feel a vibration, speak it out. You know, I just had this experience today at 11 o'clock today. I was overcome with this tremendously disturbed feeling. And I walked into my assistant Ryan's office and I said, I have a bad vibe. Something close to me, something's off. Something doesn't feel right. Have you heard anything? And he said, no, not so far. And I said, well, just be alert because something doesn't resonate in a good way. And 2 hours later, when I was finished with my day, my husband gave me a call and he said that our beloved dog, our pet of 14 years, had just been diagnosed with cancer. And I picked up at the very moment that that was being communicated. So I spoke it. Now, this is the defining factor. We feel things all the time, but people feel them in retrospect. I call it the woulda, coulda, shoulda club of intuitive drive-by visitations. But if we get in the habit and just to speak it out, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to justify it. You just say, I feel a vibe. I feel a good vibe. I feel a bit bad. I don't really know what I'm feeling, but I'm feeling something. The more you name it, the more you claim it, the more frequently you speak about it, especially when it comes to your kids, your partners, your beloveds, the treasured emotional connecting people and pets in your life. You can tune in and just do what I call a vibe check. It's just like a run a scan. One of my students ran a scan over his son and he said, you don't look right. You don't feel right. And the son said, I really don't feel right, but it's no big deal. So this went on for 3 days in a row, and finally his father said to him, you don't feel right. I'm going to take you to the doctor. And the child really put up a stink because no child wants to go to the doctor, but he went anyway, and they ran blood tests, and they discovered he had early stages of leukemia. Now, the dad to this day says, Sonia, it's because I took your class. I would never have acted or verbalized what I was feeling. I would just have ignored it. So this is one thing that I really teach in that second level. If you name it, you claim it. So name your vibes all the time and don't need to argue for their merit. Just notice them like you notice the bird in the tree or the flower in the garden and the chair in the living room. I just notice this. Let's see if it means anything. Let's just notice it's there. And that really will help in your relationships, especially parents and kids. They're always worried about their kids. This is definitely the way to stay in tune.
And Sonia, what are some ways, from a family point of view, or say for a group of people working in a business, what are some step-by-step ways we could introduce these ideas so that it's not just us who are paying attention to our intuition, but we are encouraging others to do the same?
Well, I love that question because we actually, especially, you either develop it or you throw it away at home, or you'll either develop it or you'll throw it away if you have kindred spirits to share things with. So it might not be comfortable for you to go to work, for example, and say, okay, everybody, let's share our psychic abilities. That might be a little radical for the more conservative environment. But what you could do is say, okay, everybody, let's brainstorm and let's wonder about things. Let's wonder together and speculate and share our insights and our gut feelings. Language is a very important tool. You know, a rose is a rose is a rose. A psychic feeling, whether you call it this, that, or the other, is still what it is. So use language that is comfortable. And one of the things that I encourage in the family is that you have a vibe check at least twice a week, maybe over dinner, where the conversation is, how are your vibes today? Check in. How are you feeling? How, you know, is there anything going on? Check your body. Are you stressed about anything? Are you worried about anything? Are you wondering? Are you excited about anything? And is there anything you'd like to share that we can all brainstorm and wonder with you about? So you create an atmosphere where the conversation becomes open to wonder, curiosity, and kind of insightful adventure, because these are all the tandems of intuition. These are the tendrils that cultivate the intuitive aha. And when your children are really little, they often don't know how to articulate good vibes, bad vibes, positive, negative. So one thing that I introduce is to give your kids ways to communicate their vibrational insights without using language at all. So I've taught my daughters when they were very young, if you have a good vibration, you can squeeze my hand once, and if you have a bad vibe, you can squeeze my hand twice, and you don't have to say a thing. And if you're having a bad vibe and you squeeze my hand twice, I'll know you're uncomfortable, so we'll make a change. We'll step away. We'll create some distance. We'll get some privacy so we can talk. And that really gave them permission to communicate what was going on with them without having to intellectually justify it, because intuition cannot always be justified in the moment. My daughter had a very bad feeling about going on a school trip when she was 6 years old. And right before she was going to get on the bus, she came and squeezed my hand twice so hard I thought she'd break my fingers, and she just looked at me. And with that being enough said, I said to the school, you know, I'm going to have to excuse my daughter. She's not feeling well. I had no reason to do that. I had no intellectual reason, but they went off on the bus, and the bus broke down on the highway. They had to shut the highway down and escort these kids off with fire trucks and the whole bit. My daughter just felt or anticipated something was off, and she was not part of that traumatic experience as a five-year-old. So these are just some interesting ways to give voice to your intuition without necessarily having to give justification.
Thank you, Sonia. Those are some amazing stories. And for those of you listening in, here's how you can learn more. Scroll down, click on the button that says click here to learn more. Or if you're listening to this on your iPod, as soon as you get home, get on the internet and visit finerminds.com, finerminds.com sonia.com/Sonia. And this is where you can get access to one of Sonia's programs. We personally went through several of her programs, and we found that this would be the one that we thought would be the best fit for our Finer Minds list. So do check it out. And Sonia, let's talk about the third level right now, which is intuition in an area of passion or interest. And to me, this seems like a really, really amazingly powerful tool for success in sports or business or in creative aspects of our life. Can you tell us more?
Oh, I think it's the most important reason. And once you're secure and you know your loved ones are secure and you're on track, this is the mother load of gifts when it comes to intuition, especially in the world today when everybody's saying, oh my gosh, we're in recession and my job is unstable and I don't know where to succeed or how to succeed. I assure my students there is no lack of abundance, there is no lack of opportunity, there is just lack of imagination and lack of intuition. Intuition guides you to the mother lode. And it is the resource that will help you, like the example I gave with my student who developed the restaurant chain. I just guided another man who has massive real estate holdings around the world and is using his intuition to know which ones to hold on to, which ones to sell, which ones to develop, which ones to scrap. And it doesn't just affect his own prosperity, but again, every one of us who is succeeding in the world is also helping everyone we touch succeed as well. So this is the only way in modern times that we can fully ensure an uninterrupted flow of abundance, satisfaction, and prosperity. Because intuition is the pulse for not just what is, but what is becoming, where the intellect focuses often on what was and often what is ending. So it puts you on the cutting edge. Some of the tools, one of the things that blocks intuition is fear. Fear of mistakes, fear of being wrong, fear of letting go, fear of change, fear of trusting yourself, fear of making a commitment. These are all the things that interrupt the ability to even tune into intuition. It's like I'm too afraid to be informed because then with information I have to make decisions. So I have this wonderful tool I'd like to share with people that'll help you bypass fear really quickly. It's a two-part tool. The first part is to just name the things you fear. Just name them. Just like you're naming the things that you see before you. I fear going broke. I fear being made redundant. I fear being left alone. I fear being not valued. I fear being disrespected. I fear being overlooked. I fear like I won't be promoted or I'll be put in a bad situation. And even naming your fears quiets them down. And once you name them, they don't block your brain. So I tell my students, it's not fear that necessarily interrupts intuition. It's hiding fear. That takes a lot of concentration. That takes a lot of mental energy to hide your fears. But we're all afraid at some level, so just acknowledge your fears, and as you acknowledge them, this miraculous thing happens. They start to subside. It's pretty amazing. It's sort of like what you resist persists, so don't resist. I'm afraid. But on the other side of that, just say, and this is what I love. I love being creative. I love brainstorming. I love cooking. I love inviting people over. I love coming up with new recipes. I did this very thing with my own husband who was frustrated with his work. And out of the I love came this whole invention, intuitive invention to create a cooking program, which he's now created. But it wouldn't have come had he not first eliminated and acknowledged and then pushed aside his fear. So that's a tool to get to your intuition.
So I'll repeat.
It's a very effective tool.
It's two steps. Step one, you name the things you fear. And step two, you name the things you love.
Right. Name the things you love. And you'll find as you name the things you love, more and more insight drops in. more and more information comes in, because intuition comes from the part of you that is creative, that is invested in loving life, that is invested in all that is positive and good. So first name your fears, but name them without energy. Just name them like you're naming the colors in the spectrum of color, or the numbers on 1 to 10. I name this, I name this, I name this. And then what you love. And then say, and my intuition says, and fill in the blank.
Beautiful.
And you'll find it plop. It's like plop, plop, there it is. Another thing you can do to activate intuition is to put your life, to involve your mind in mundane, busy stuff that you enjoy. For example, maybe gardening, maybe folding clothes, maybe organizing a drawer. Just mundane, but that gives you some satisfaction. And once you get that busy mind involved, that it opens up the channel to the other side of the brain. And then I actually encourage people to name the other side of the brain. I name mine Bright Idea. So I ask Bright Idea, the other side of my brain, Bright Idea, what inspiration do you have for me today? And then I'm just, as I'm folding laundry, or I'm vacuuming, or I'm organizing my receipts, or just some mundane task that isn't particularly obnoxious, just busy work, Bright Ideas start popping in. And we'll return back to what I was suggesting before. Name them out loud. Name them out loud. Oh, this is a bright idea, or that's a bright idea. And you'll find that they really are bright ideas. They really are enlightened thoughts, bright solutions. I had somebody doing that last week, and she said, my bright idea is that the keys I had lost 6 weeks earlier were stuck in the console in my car, between the console and the seat, and I went and looked, and there they were. I had been so frustrated, and there they were. Bright idea came through and said, I have a bright idea, go look here.
I like that, and it seems amazing how you can, because so many of us have this natural doubt or fear about intuition. I mean, it's because of what we've grown up with. It's also because of Hollywood and movies like The Sixth Sense, which
makes it so
extreme and scary. So I love the fact that you use the word bright idea as a label, and how that sort of frees you to think creatively about this.
Right, and embrace it as a positive. But thank you for mentioning that, Vishen, because here's another tool. It is my observation as a teacher that through conditioning, even when we get a good vibration or a helpful intuitive insight, people often will articulate it in a negative way. They'll say, oh, this was so weird. This weird, strange thing happened. Well, that keeps reiterating to your subconscious mind that this is not a good thing. So another subtle shift that has very powerful ramifications is to speak positively about your intuition. Oh, I had the most amazing insight. I had the greatest bright idea. I had the most helpful intuitive flash. I had the most productive aha. And if you even do that, even if you're not in the habit, if you do that for a week, what happens is noticing intuition is like noticing stars. We're not in the habit of looking up in the sky, but when we do, the first there's another, and boom, the whole Milky Way explodes. It was there all along. You just didn't notice. So if you start noticing with these positive commentary, your consciousness will explode with awareness. And it really does, it proliferates very quickly. It's very exciting.
I so wish I could bring you into my company to train my team. I love this.
Finding
these tips really, really valuable.
I do teach a lot of companies. I do teach a lot of businesses because I know the nuts and bolts of what works and what doesn't because I've studied it and observed for so many years. And I really do want people to get it. I don't want people to know about this. That's like window shopping. You're looking in and think, oh, that's lovely. I want people to walk in and own it, because that's where it will make a difference in their lives.
So thank you, Sonia. So now we have our final and most important question coming up. But again, before that, those of you who are listening in, if you are like me, dying to get started on this, go to finerminds.com, finerminds.com/Sonia, or scroll down on this page and click the button to learn more. So Sonia, the final question is, what if we were in tune with our intuition? What if we have learned these techniques from you? What would our lives be like?
Well, what you would experience is what I call a paradigm shift. And a paradigm shift is an absolute, radical, total, fundamental transformation in your life. On the most basic level, your health would improve because your fear would subside, because you would be in flow, you would be guided. It would be the difference between wandering in the jungle, in the night, in the dark, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, versus being in a guided tour with a big bright light on the path. Seeing what's coming, what's next, what way the path goes, and how I can best decide for myself the direction I want to go instead of just being led down the path like a sheep in the dark. So you'll feel physically better. You will be consequently more energized. You'll be more stress-free. You will be, because you're not fearful, you'll be more attractive to people, because fear is the most off-putting, repugnant vibration to the human being. So you will become attractive. You will draw into your life people who want to participate, who want to cooperate, who want to collaborate. You open the doors of creative opportunity. So your life becomes, instead of one of survival and struggle, it becomes one of invention and creative expression. Your heart opens, you're no longer threatened because you're not afraid, so you begin to see people more accurately and have compassion for them. So therefore, you'll have relationships with them that are more productive, less combative, more collaborative, so you become a peacemaker. That puts you in a position of being a leader instead of a follower. You not only, you lead by example, you become the bearer of peace and the reflection of joy, because your life is working. So you're happy and it's contagious. So you become part of the solution of the world. And everything about it turns your life into a wildly exciting adventure instead of a threatening, menacing, tormenting, and frustrating drama. So it's a paradigm shift. Everything gets lighter, happier, more productive. I just can't say. It's not a linear shift. It's an exponential shift.
I know.
It's like dropping a pebble in the lake. It just keeps rippling outward.
I can imagine. Because I've experienced this shift.
You've experienced it, and it's palpable. It's real, and it's the only way to fly, if you ask me.
Right, and it made a fundamental shift in the way I did business and the way I started living my life. I really got into my intuition sometime around about 6 or 7 years ago. And since then, my life has just been getting better and better and better. I knew the right time to quit my job and start a business, and I could do that fearlessly because I just had a gut feeling that I was going to be okay. And then I had an intuitive shift.
And you said the word fearlessly.
Right.
That's the gift.
Right. And then I had an intuitive shift on where to move my business and when to move my business. We moved to a different city. And that turned out to be purely intuition, but it turned out to be the right decision. And that, too, helped our business. I use it
so you're the poster
someone.
Child. This is – can you imagine your life without intuition?
No, I absolutely can't. So people tell me, where do I get my creativity from? How do I know so much about – marketing, but really I don't. I don't know that much about marketing or running a business. I wasn't a top student at university. I'm not that amazingly well educated, but I've done really well in business, I would say, by listening to my gut.
You know, I love that you said that. One time, Einstein was asked, how did you discover the theory of relativity? And he said, I didn't discover it. I was listening to my favorite piece of music and listening to my intuition, and the entire thing dropped in. And that's how it works. We tap into the quantum field.
Beautiful.
So you're right. You don't. It's not what I know that I'm working with. It's what I can be informed and shown and receive that I'm working with. And it really gives you access. It's like me. I've written 14 books, and I didn't do particularly well in school either. But they write themselves.
Beautifully said, Sonia. Thank you so much. This was a wonderful conversation. For those of you listening in, all you got to do to learn more is to scroll down and click on the button, or visit finerminds.com, FIMERMINDS.com/Sonia, SONIA. Hope you enjoyed this as much as I did, and we'll see you again on Finer Minds. Thank you.